to read out loud together, to read God's word, which we believe is inspired by the Spirit. We've been talking about the Spirit resting upon us, and so we're going to pray for the Spirit of God to do just that as we read God's word. It's a short psalm. It fits in very powerfully with our theme of becoming human, giving glory, because it asks the key question, what is humanity? And the psalmist is asking that question in the light of how human beings relate to God and the rest of creation. It's a psalm that will be well known to some of you and not to others, so a fascinating psalm. So we read out loud together. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them, mere mortals that you care for them? Yet you made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You placed them over all creation, sheep and cattle, and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Going to refer to this as our background text, Psalm 8, and also make reference to Romans chapter 3, and particularly verse 23. And there's just one slide today, and we're asking this question, more or less human? What are you? This year we're exploring what it means to be truly, to be fully human. It's very much a question of our generation, our society, and our world. And it has been through all the time that human history has been recorded. And I wonder if you think about it and how you would answer somebody that is thinking about this issue. It's highlighted in our day, particularly with the rise of artificial intelligence and its massive growth. It raises this whole issue of what it is to actually be human. I like to think when we make that choice of whether we're going to impound land, use the self-check-in and get it right, or whether we'd prefer to see a person that we had free choice, but mostly we no longer have that choice because it's cheaper to have that done in a way that's technical. Are we more or less human? In verse 4 of this psalm, the question is, what is humanity? The non-inclusive phrase would be, what is man? But the question is, what is humanity that you remember them? Why do you bother with humanity, asks the psalmist. And as we explore what it means to be truly, fully human, there it is, right there in the scripture. And also, as we seek individually and together in community to be more human, I believe that we will bring greater glory to God by the way we live our lives, and the way we live our lives in relationship to other people as well as to God. I believe this is the purpose for which we are made, to bring glory to God and to enjoy God. And we've been using the book of Romans in recent weeks to think about how we are transformed, not just by the work of the Holy Spirit, but by relating to other people in community. And that relates not just to the church, but also in society. We become more human as we cooperate with the work of God's Holy Spirit. And I would hope when you're asked that question, are you more or less human, you will say, I'm becoming more human, and I want to be more human than I currently am. And perhaps we can talk about what that might mean. The clear message of Jesus in the letter of Paul to the Romans is that we need one another. We were created to be interdependent, to live in relationship with others, and that we have a responsibility to other people by the way that we behave. That's essential to our faith, to our following Jesus. Not just that they have a responsibility to us, but that we have a responsibility to them. That is the clear message of Scripture. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, those five big household churches from Corinth, and he called them God's beloved. He said, you are God's beloved in the first chapter, and you are called to be God's own people. And you are called to be the people of God before you are called to belong to even a nation or a family or a place in society. We're called to be God's people. And that is why people do suffer for their faith. It's not just because of what they actually believe about Jesus Christ, but what they believe about being part of the people of God. And we used the picture last week. I suggested you think about that moving mosaic of people, the contributions of people of different colour, shapes and sizes, with different degrees of chips and breaks and flaws, that together are brought together by the Holy Spirit and create a truer picture of what God is like out of the many one. So we are called to be part of a people, the people of God. And that is a serious call and challenge on our lives. It's why church members say they are accountable to one another and why some people may pull away from that for various reasons. But we are called to be part of the people of God, a flawed, damaged, imperfect people who are seeking to become more human with the help of God. Nobody is claiming that the bride is spotless, that the church is without flaw, that the church is without sin. We are a group of people who are fallen and broken that choose to follow Jesus together. We are called into community. This is the life Jesus wants for his people. The Godhead is community, yet one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are community, though we are one body, soul, and spirit. When we are called into community with others so that we might thrive and grow and express what it is to be human. And no one individual will express fully what it is to be human unless they are Jesus Christ. We are also called to express our humanity in relation to the rest of the creation. And we are given a special place in the creation order with the rest of creation. So the psalmist, person who wrote this hymn, this song, starts to answer their own question, what is humanity? And they refer both to God, to human relationships, and with the physical creation itself. I hope that we've shown clearly at the beginning of the year, particularly with the use of those essential scriptures in Genesis, that all human beings, both male and female, are made in God's image. We've also, in Genesis and Romans, referred to the fact that we have an altered state as human beings, that we are not good as we were once created, that we are not full of dignity and glory, but that that dignity and glory, which we surely have as human beings, is marred. And we talk about the fallenness from dignity and the glory we were created with. We recognize that the further we go from God, and that relates to anyone, the further we go from God, the more we retreat, then the less distinctive is the image of God in us. And it becomes harder to distinguish humankind from other life forms, which are incredibly important, the whole of creation. And we discuss what it means to say the image of God is seen in humans in a special way. I'm sure there are aspects of the image of God that are seen in the whole of creation, but it is humans that God creates to have fellowship with in a particular way, to walk with. The image of God in humans is not seen in a physical form or likeness. I can't look at you and say, oh, you look more like God physically, or you look more like God, or you look more like God, because God is spirit. So we're not referring to the physical likeness, although I do think human form probably does tell you something about God, both male and female. But we're referring to humans being in the image of God in terms of our knowledge and our moral awareness. That is not saying there aren't other sentient beings, there are, but in terms of knowledge and our moral awareness, but also the possibility we have of relating to God in friendship. The whole of creation relates to God in some way, but human beings are called to be friends of God. The whale is God's plaything. We are called to be friends with God. We see also in that Trinitarian constitution of human beings, our makeup, body, soul, and spirit, that we have this experience within our very self of community, and we reflect the divine being in community. And because we are not at ease with ourselves, we have many issues, whether they're physical issues, mental health issues, emotional issues. We need that healing, that coming together that we speak about. We are fallen. We are fallen. And Romans chapter 3, and I refer you to verse 23, which you'll know well, says that without exception, every human being has fallen from the grace and the dignity and the glory they were created to know. All of us fall short of God's glory, the purpose for which we created. We know, and the Presbyterians say very nicely, is to bring glory to God and to enjoy God forever. We have all fallen from that. No matter how selfless we are, no matter how amazing our achievements, all of us should come before God in humility, because we are fallen and we are broken. Christian belief with others is in this purposeful creation by the will of an intelligent creator, but also a loving creator, that God had purpose in making the planet and in making us as men and women. And all those who follow Jesus, all those who follow Jesus, and I choose my words carefully, believe that God puts people right with himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what we have been singing about. And that is very, very clear. I'll just read to you, reiterate that. But now God's way of putting people right with himself has been revealed. It has nothing to do with law, even though the law of Moses and the prophets gave their witness to it. God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ, because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ. Very, very clear scriptures written to people from multi-faith backgrounds. All of us can be put right with God through Jesus Christ. And that is our growth in our humanness. Now, this belief is very important because it speaks against the very popular fallacy, untruth, that if we try hard enough, God will accept us. That is not the teaching of Scripture. It's become popular. It's spoken of often. People live in the hope that as long as they do their best, everything will be all right. God will not reject them. That is not the teaching of Scripture. All have sinned and fallen short, and it is only through Jesus that we are put right with God. And that everybody needs that chance to hear that message of the love of God. Everybody needs to hear that chance. And it says in Romans 1 that people will be judged according to the light that they have, presumably the light of the knowledge of Jesus. But that is not the end, brother and sister. Just because we believed however many years ago and believe that we have salvation, it doesn't finish there. we have entered into a relationship with God by which we become more truly human, and by which we can bring greater glory to God, and by which we can bring other people to have that chance to respond. This is the most important time of your life, now. Not the past, not even the future, but the present, the way that we actually live now. The Jewish Christian Bible teaches that we all fail to achieve the glorious purpose for which we were created, and that we were created to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. So even the most selfless, the most generous of people, and there are some of them who are certainly not Christians, will still fall short of God's glorious purpose for which they were made. Something is wrong, not just with our behavior, but in our inner being, in our very heart. Until we encounter God in Jesus and accept that something needs to be put right. The following of Jesus is about becoming fully human and giving glory and bringing praise to God. That is what it's all about. So, I ask you today, do you want to be more or less human? I hope you're going to say, I want to be more fully human. I want to embrace my humanity. I want to achieve that for which God has taken hold of me. Therefore, I'm going to act justly. I'm going to love mercy. I'm going to walk humbly with my God. Because it's for that that the Spirit of God has taken hold of me. So, do you want to be more or less human? Have you gone backwards or are you going forwards? Do you want the image of God to be seen more fully in your life? It is seen fully in Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. That's what Paul wrote to the Colossians. That is the most amazing statement. And if you wonder why people of other faith who do not regard Jesus as God incarnate or offended, it is because of this claim. He is the image of the invisible God. And if you believe that, then live as though it made a difference on your life. It is an amazing statement that he has come to live within me as I have believed and received him. I am truly a child of God. What arrogance to claim that unless it were given to us in God's scripture. Leon Morris says of Romans 3 that it tells the story of the human tragedy, and it is of this terrible fall from knowing God as friend and knowing God's glory. But it tells the story not just of the human tragedy, but of the human triumph, that by one person, one human being, one God the Son, things have been reversed and we can begin to climb towards the glory of God with the help, the grace of God. Jesus lifts us up, but only once we understand that we are fallen and ask for God's help. The sacraments are important to us, of communion and baptism, but all they do is to enable us to enter into what we actually believe. Jesus lifts us up as we understand our fallen state and ask for help. Jesus gives us new life as we align with the death and resurrection of Jesus. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, by God's free gift of grace, God's undeserved love, we are put right with God. And we see the light shining in our hearts, which shows us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we want to know what it is to be truly human, if we want to know what the glory of God is, then we have to go to Jesus. We cannot see God. God is spirit. We can see his actions in the world, but it is Jesus that shows us what true humanity is like and also the glory of God. So I just read some verses to you that you will know well from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Wonderful, wonderful statement again about Jesus, a bit like the Colossians 1. For this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day by day. I'm reading out of the wrong chapter, but it's a good verse. Anyway. The light shining in our hearts, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, got it. Verse 18 of chapter 3. All of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. As we see the face of Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God. And as we spend time with Jesus, we will be changed. So it is not just our justification. I've been saved. I've begun a conversion journey. It's actually as we spend time with Jesus. And this you can see. If people spend time with Jesus, you begin to see a deep transformation. They become more human rather than less human. And they bring more glory to God rather than less glory to God. And you know it yourself, don't you? The times you're walking closely with God, spending time with Jesus, are the times of deepest change and transformation. Sometimes those are the hardest times in our life, but that's where the transformation happens. Calvin, who some of you will have heard of, said, humanity never achieves a clear knowledge of itself, so what is it to be human, unless it has first looked upon God's face and then descends from contemplating him to scrutinizing itself. To rephrase, you and I will never know what it is to be truly human until we look upon God's face in Jesus Christ and then look at our own lives, having contemplated him and scrutinized our own lives. Then we see our need of God. We're not comparing ourselves with another human being. We're looking at Jesus Christ. So we can understand ourselves only in the light of God, and we can only understand his purpose from humankind as we look to God. And we need divine revelation, and we need openness to God to go honestly into God's presence and say, I want to see those things about you that will change me, Lord God. I don't want to change because there's pressure upon me from other people to change. I want to change because I see you and I know the longing of your Holy Spirit. So are we becoming more or less human as the human race? We could do a little vote here because there are different answers. Some people would say, oh, we're evolving to greater things. Others would say, no, we're getting worse. And some would say, actually, we're always the same. And I don't know where you come in that spectrum. But in Psalm 8, verse 5, we're told God invested humankind with dignity. That's glory and honor. And under God's authority, human beings have the responsibility to govern and care for the planet. And that's the important thing, under God's authority. It's lives that are submitted to God that will be enabled to do that. There's little doubt, it seems to me, that there are progressive advances made in technology, medicine, and the like. I don't think there's a doubt in that. Nor, though, is there a doubt that the world's wealth is not equitably shared. In fact, when we look at the world, we have to say there is the greatest lack of equity possible. We see conflicts continuating and perpetuated. Because we get away with so little here in the West, we find it difficult to put ourselves in the position of some of those situations that were named today and many, many more. So is humanity becoming more or less human? Some would say that perhaps in the West we're becoming more egotistical and selfish than ever. I don't know where you come on that spectrum, whether you think the human race is progressing, whether you think it's going backwards, whether you think nothing has changed, or whether you think in the cycle of history, things come around, go around, you have progress and relapse and so on. I don't know where you stand. Are we becoming more human rather than less human? As followers of Jesus, and I use that label in preference because the label Christian has been so abused by those that bear it and by others. As followers of Jesus, we believe that humankind was created in the image of God. But we also believe, as it says in 2 Corinthians, this is the chapter 4, verse 4, verse, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And unbelievers there are referring to anybody, whether they were Jewish unbelievers or others. They are blinded. They cannot see the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. People are blind to that fact, that is Jesus Christ, who is God's glory, who is the image of God. But God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shown the glory of God in the face of Christ. We need that revelation. We need the light to break through human darkness, and especially of those who have rejected Jesus, to see Jesus as Jesus really is. So, true and loyal followers of Jesus, I speak to you today. True and loyal followers of Jesus are destined to share the divine image through their union with Christ. That is what we teach. We are destined. It's the work of the Spirit in our lives to share the divine image. In other words, that's why the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Father, take up residence in us, to make us more like Jesus. Now, we can say, if you think I'm bad now, you should have met me 20 years ago. But progress is slow, isn't it? True and loyal follower of Jesus, we are destined to share the divine image through our union with Christ. We read about that in Romans and Corinthians and Colossians. And the scripture is also clear that just because we say we are followers of Jesus doesn't mean anything unless we work with God to see our behaviours become more human, more Jesus-like. And we know how Jesus lived. We know that from reading scripture, but we also know it through the revelation of the Holy Spirit as we reflect and meditate upon scripture. God opens to us the beauty of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the dignity of Jesus, the way he lived and operated. And we are called by the Spirit within us to live like that. Are we people of faith? Because it's going to take faith to believe that that can happen. So how optimistic are you about the future? The world, the church, the future. How optimistic are you? As the line between technology and humanity becomes more blurred, we wonder, are we becoming more or less human? It's fascinating to search the web and to see what comes up. So I tapped in more or less human. I came across a very, very powerful little animation. I didn't dare share it with you, in case some of you thought it was too extreme. So I hope that will whet your appetite to go and look at it on Facebook where I posted it. It's called Less Than Human. It's published in 2017. And it's in the aftermath of an attack. You can look and see what sort of attack. And these people that are attacked and become subhuman are then cured, but they're put into isolation camps, secluded camps. And then they suddenly think, I wonder if these people could be rehabilitated into the human race. And so a reporter is sent in to see what is happening. And they've been left there for 6 years. We have lots of camps actually around the world. But have a look at it and see what you think. Ask the question, how do we measure our humanity? Is it by the way we treat other people? Is it because we section people off and so on? Through the fall, the image of God is not totally lost in any human being. We have to believe that nobody is beyond redemption. We have to believe that in Rwanda and many other parts of the world. Through the fall, the image of God is not totally lost in any human being, even the ugliest human being. I guess you couldn't do street pastors or live in the world if you didn't believe that the image of God is in every human being that you meet. But also, we believe that God restrains some of the worst effects of evil because of his grace and because of our prayers. even talks about that in 2 Thessalonians, and the Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper was very clear. You think this world is bad? If God were not restraining evil, if people were not praying, deliver us from the evil one, it would be worse. There would be no breaks and no restraint. God uses many things to restrain evil. People's kindness, good works, philanthropy, investments. God restrains evil in many, many ways by people's good example, by having salt and light and so on. God restrains evil. But you know, when I think about the future, I am only optimistic about the future of humanity if my optimism is linked to the restoring of the image, the full personhood, through faith in Jesus. That is what I am putting my hope on. That's what I'm living my life for, because that is the hope I hold out, and the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. Are you optimistic? If you and I have experienced anything of Jesus, and I believe we have, if you and I have experienced anything of the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, and I believe we have, then we're morally bound in love to share this good news story with other human beings. We're morally bound. If you've been rescued when you were drowning, then you have no choice but to rescue other people who are drowning. Now, if they choose not to receive the way of rescue, that is up to them. But they all are worthy of that chance to receive that. What hope do you have? What have you seen in Jesus? Have you seen the unmarred image of God? What did it say to you when you saw Jesus like that? What did it tell you about yourself? Have you heard the call back home to God? Have you experienced the new birth, but also the remaking work of the Holy Spirit to restore the image of God, to make you and I more human? If you have, then the fruits of this work will be seen in greater compassion, greater mercy, greater forgiveness, greater hospitality, greater seeking after justice, and so on. These works of being more rather than less human will be seen in our lives. The truth or the falsity of the claim that we have seen Jesus and we have seen ourselves will be bolstered or undermined by our lives, whether they're lived in relationship with God and how we live our lives with others. Nevertheless, let's say together, we always have to admit that it's Jesus we want to draw people's attention to, because we know that perfect image of God is still marred in each of us. It's still marred. So we want to draw attention to Jesus. We want to say to others, I have a story to tell if you will listen. I have a story to tell of God's kindness, love, and patience. I have a story, if you will listen, about God's persistence with human beings, and it's really worth hearing. Let's pray.